This is The Biz of Wealth. Challenges, rumblings, and evolution of the wealth management industry.
Welcome to The Biz of Wealth. Today, I had the pleasure of sitting down with Dr. Sang, who is the CEO and founder of Purview Investments, as SEC registered investment advisor, specializing in climate resilience and ESG investing through exchange-traded fund model portfolios and ETF sub-advisory. She's portfolio manager of a low-carbon ETF by TrueShares. She serves as a senior advisor to Sofi, a fintech firm. Dr. Sang has built an extensive career in the asset management industry. She was a portfolio manager at BlackRock, MFS, and was most recently the head of investment research and senior portfolio manager at Schwab's subsidiary, Winhaven. She's a co-founder and a board member of Women in ETFs, as well as a recipient of the Top Women in Asset Management Awards 2015 by Money Management Executive. She's a frequent contributor to industry conferences and financial media such as Bloomberg TV, The Financial Times, ETF.com. She published her research at industry journals such as Journal of Index Investing, Journal of Investing. She lives with her family in Manhattan. And it was a great pleasure connecting with her again after many years and hearing her success story in asset management and especially in ESG investing, where she was definitely the pioneer. Without further ado, here is the interview with Dr. Sang. Welcome to The Biz of Wealth, Linda. It's such a pleasure to have you here.
Thank you for having me out.
So we've met a long time ago, but I want you to tell the audience basically what got you here and what is here for you.
Sure. Let me start with what is here. I founded Purview Investments over 3 years ago. It's SEC registered investment advisor, focusing on impact investing through exchange-traded funds. So we essentially offer two types of services and products. The first one is global multi-asset strategies with 100% low-carbon and ESG ETFs. So you can become a Purview's client directly, and that's the first one. The second one is, which I'm pretty excited to share with you. I don't think I've told you yet since we last met. So Purview started becoming a sub-advisor for other ETF issuers at the end of February 28th, right at the pandemic. TrueShare launched TrueShare's a few products, including TrueShare's ESG Active Opportunities. Wow. Which is one of the very few active ESG products out there. Cool. So, it's listed on New York Stock Exchange, and anybody can get it through in their brokerage account. And it is really a product that radically decarbonizes one's portfolio. So if anyone has an interest in investing in U.S. equities, this could be part of that exposure for you if you really care about climate risk and want to dramatically reduce your carbon footprint in your portfolio. So that's where I am. Yeah, how I came here. That was, it seems like a while ago. So I was trained in economics and in quantitative investing. So I got a PhD in finance, and I took a lot of econometric statistic classes. And I have the fortune to work at some of the best companies in asset management industry, including BlackRock, MFS. And my most recent corporate gig was, was Schwab-owned subsidiary called Winhaven. And so I joined the company about 8 years ago, and that's what took me to ETF ecosystem. Because in the past, I was managing mutual funds at large shops, managing institutional mandates. And that was my first window into the advisory business. But the company that I joined happens to be as legit as any other asset managers. So the focus was just on portfolio management, but just using 100% ETF. And so three and a half years ago, I had the opportunity to start my own company. So my daughter was going to Columbia University. And so my husband and I, we just moved our, we sold our house in Massachusetts and moved to Manhattan. And I started my own company. And thankfully to my husband's support, both emotionally and financially still, I really wanted to focus on impact investing, providing a product for clients who really cared about climate risks, pollution, the earth pollution, social equity, and social justice. So, and that's how I've been doing since three and a half years ago.
Besides, you know, common sense and the interest of doing good in the world, what is it that piqued your interest on ESG investing? I know it has a positive impact, but is there anything else that made you really think? Okay.
3.5 years ago, when I first doing this, I felt alone. The asset management industry was not focusing on it at all. It was actually, just a lot of people dismiss it, right, as a kumbaya. So there wasn't a linkage between why you have to do it, why this is good for your business and good for your client's performance, right? ESG movement is, think about that, is really reflecting some major trends that's happening around the world. It reflects the whole world movement toward decarbonization. It reflects industry's transition into electrification mode, you know, whether it's transportation, whether it's renewables replacing traditional fossil fuel in the power industry, electricity industry, right? So the message is very clear. The whole economy is moving that way. So there are lots of investments in the U.S. You look at S&P 500. There are lots of companies who live in the past, and they are going to become less and less relevant, and some of them will definitely become obsolete. So my thinking is, why would S&P 500 have to be the only thing that you invest in? Yeah. Why not invest in where the industry is going, where the economy is going? And it's not just environment, right? And people really care about gender equity and data security issues, right? And because they really differentiate those companies who are doing well on those issues, they're going to reap the long-term benefits of being a better managed company. So
has become a good investment, and that's what people, when I met you, I also thought, you know, I knew you were a trailblazer. You were the first one doing this. Literally, I don't think there's anybody that was doing that when you started. ETF, ESG investing? I don't think.
Yes, I'm very proud that Purview was among the very first to come out with ESG low carbon model portfolios. It almost has a 3-year track record in the upcoming February, just a few months. Yeah. And I remember a lot of people asked me, "Well, Linda, can I look at your model portfolios?" A lot of large ETF providers and large asset managers. They were, some of the smart people in those shops. They asked me about how I do it, and I never withhold anything. I share everything with them. And pretty soon, right now, every single big shop has some version of that.
Yeah, that's the trend too. They know that
absolutely.
There's a push coming from clients even, that it's actually the trend is that.
This is a huge trend in the year of 2020. So 2020 is a very interesting, it's a horrible year, right, in many aspects, right? But the icing on the cake is that this is also the year where I call it a year of awareness of ESG problems, right? From pandemic, right, health crises to climate crises to social justice issues. It really has brought ESG principles at the front and center to asset managers, to investors, to institutional asset owners, to corporations themselves, right? So this year you have seen so many companies, they're announcing net zero targets, right?
Yeah.
Literally every single big tech has made announcement, right? Mm-hmm. And even Walmart, CEO, made announcement. They want to become regenerative, company. And that's, they have the goal of having all the electric trucks, right? Be part of their logistic systems. So I think the world has really come to a point in 2020 where you have a convergence of investors, corporations, asset managers, and governments, right? Policymakers around the world who are all consistent, at least on one thing, right? Moving, which is pushing the economy toward a net zero emission goal. You know, China has announced 2060, right? Before 2060, that the whole economy will become net zero. Usually when China announces something, they usually under promise but over delivery. They're going to get there before 2060, right? And they recently just made an announcement that the half of their new car sales 15 years from now will be all electric, right? And Norway is the leader in that. All 100% car sales will become electric just 5 years from now. So we're really seeing tangible economic transition toward net zero economy.
So that in the terms of the financial services industry, where do you see it? How could, what is the adaptation that financial advisors should be doing or wealth managers should be doing? Where do you see financial advisors doing it right? And where do you see them doing it wrong?
I'm very encouraged to see that financial advisors are behind massive capital flows into ESG ETFs. This year, ESG ETFs as asset class, just those listed in the U.S., has grown by 150%. Year to date. So it's already over 40-something billion, right, from a very low base, but it's growing. It's really one of the fastest growing segment in ETF industry. And who are buying that? They're primarily the advisors and wealth management arm of the brokerage firms. So if you look at who are holding all these mega products. They are doing well. Some of them are doing really well in channeling the flow and educating their, their clients. This should be part of your portfolio. I think what needs to be done better is really on the communication. So if you started asking people, I heard some advisor and even some fintech firm, they were telling me, it surprised us. I'm not sure if our constituents are interested in ESG. I said, how did you ask them? Well, we asked them, are you interested in ESG? I said, of course, if you ask the wrong question or confusing questions, of course, they know, we don't know what you're talking about, right? But if you ask them, how much are you concerned about climate risks? How much are you concerned about plastic pollution in the ocean? How much are you concerned about wildfire, the intensity and prolonged season of wildfires? How much are you concerned about more intense and more frequent flooding and tornadoes in the East Coast and in the Midwest, right? How much do you care about social equities? Are you concerned that 1 in 10 portfolio manager is a female? 1 in 10, 100 top grossing films in Hollywood are made by women? Are you concerned that only 2% of CEO in top 250 global banks are women? These are the questions you should ask.
Then how did you translate that into, okay, this is a good idea for your portfolio? Like, okay, yes, I want to invest consistent with my philosophy, consistent with my concerns about the world and the way, you know, the, where the world is going. How do you translate that conversation into, okay, now here is why it, this is good for your portfolio. And when I touch your money, when I, you know, when I put my hand in your pocket, that's another story.
That's right. Conversion. So education, right? Education is one thing. And conversion. Can you convert them to clients? And this is where it's, I don't know the secret yet, right? I have to confess, I think I'm a better than average portfolio manager. Well, based on the performance, actually, we have the best performing ESG ETF since our inception. But I don't know if I figure out how do you quickly convert that conviction into action. You know, I think a and I have to confess, I'm not the best. I only started recently telling people the way I'm talking to you, right? I think telling them truthfully, right? Not telling them in the jargon terms, right. You know? Discuss the issue, ask them, you know, some people were concerned about investing in tobacco companies, right? And today, people's worry is fossil fuel. Right. Are you still comfortable investing in Exxon, Chevron?
Right.
Right. Duke Energy. Right.
And also, there is no type of client that will actually convert another to want ever.
I think the good, you know, what I think the influences are large asset owners, right? Institutional asset owners. They have been at the forefront. Some of them have been at the forefront of doing that. But we need them to do much quicker. You know, many of the institution asset owners may not invest in ETFs yet, but there are a lot of ESG and sustainable mutual funds or separate managed mandates that they can get into. But for me, the whole asset management industry is shifting toward ETFs. You know, why not become a leader, right? Yeah. To invest in sustainable investing, impact investing, using ETF vehicles. And large advisors, the big channels and Merrill, the, you know, the big channels that wealth management and BlackRock at Vanguard and at Schwab, they should be at the forefront of educating, right, converting, replacing some of their investors' equity exposure or fixed income exposure with ESG and climate impact products. There are tons of them that are available. They are definitely in a better position at converting, you know, belief in, into action than Purview, than a startup is. And so, for me, I'm just hoping if, you know, obviously I welcome anyone who would reach out to Purview, reach out to me. You know, it's very hard to find, whether large or small, there's very hard to find companies that 100% focus on impact investing and ESG investing. Sure. And Purview is just one of the very few of them.
Well, it's the same. Honestly, I think about it in other terms, such as any charity will face the same issue. You know, you say, hey, you know, you have a great cause. Any charity will say, my cause is great. It's very important for the world. But the moment that you actually ask people to reach out and put their money into the pockets, that's the toughest conversion that really has to happen. And it's not easy.
Yeah. And I'm horrible at asking, like, would you consider Purview become your client? Right. You know, I'm just terrible.
Well, with your portfolio, with, you know, with your track record, it you know, it is becoming easier. It has to. And that's the issue every single asset manager faces. Like every single wealth manager I've worked with is, okay, I have this great product. And
great track record.
It just started, you know, maybe it's 1 year, a year and a half. It's never enough for the big ones, or never enough for somebody else to actually, you know, invest. Is the chicken or the egg. You always have to have some big backers to be able to, like ETFs too. You launch the ETF and you need a big backer to be able to show assets under management. And that's like another hurdle in the middle.
Yeah.
But besides that, and more like personal notes, and you were mentioning, you know, how important it is to have women in finance or women in boards. How would you say that being a woman has affected you in the finance world, if it has? And, you know, what, you know, how difficult is it still to be a woman in finance?
Yeah, you know, this is a very, when you think about it, it's a deep question, right? It evokes so many memories, and not just my own, but my observation. You know, I grew up in China, right? So, you know, being a woman and being here, I'm considered minority women, right? So it's a very complex issue. I think having grown up in China, having grown up in a society where it's fairly homogeneous, so I was quite lucky. I never had the baggage of, you know, being a minority, as if I'm somehow inferior than others. So I never had that. So I brought this mentality, came to, you know, went to Canada for undergrad, American for PhD, just thinking, hey, I'm the mainstream. I can do anything you can. So I think that in many ways helped propel me to just pursue whatever I think makes sense, right? For me and for the family. So in my career of, you know, 20 years of portfolio manager in large and small firms, I think there are very few occasions that they're, you know, just so obvious, right? That I'm disadvantaged. So in your face, disadvantaging you, those happen rarely. The subtle things, But because I think I was kind of blind about it, maybe I chose to do that. And it hasn't really in many ways discouraged me too much. But I noticed the higher you climb in corporate ladder, the subtleties all of a sudden becomes a little bit more obvious. So I still don't know whether that's just part of the corporate politics or it's because I did not grow up here and I do not look like most of my colleagues. Maybe it's a combination of both, but I try not to waste my time to dwell on what has happened to me. But I do think it makes sense for women to be aware of the challenges, and women should organize, right? And to discuss those issues for the group. So 6 years ago, I co-founded Women ETFs, and today it's a 6,000 members organization around the world. And we, including a lot of men who shared our conviction that the finance industry, ETF industry, will be a better place for everybody involved, for business, for investors, you know, if we have more women representation. So I think we do need to recognize there's a great gender gap in pay, in promotion, in senior management, right? I've cited some statistics earlier on, and we need to change that, and we need to change that very, very quickly. So I hope that answered your question, recognizing there's a deep gap.
What do you think is, as an industry, in wealth management missing in the industry, in the marketplace? What, you know, if you could dream anything, what would you, you know, put into the marketplace that's not there yet?
So since my focus, I assume you talk about ETF industry as a subsector of asset management. Yeah. So I think what's, there's a lot of, copycat products for good reasons, because innovation is very hard, right? So there are a lot of cheap, low-cost, generic products out there. They exist for good reasons. I want to make sure that people don't take me wrong, but there may be too many of them, right? The market needs So if you think of fashion industry, right? This is very similar to fashion industry. Do you want fashion industry, you know, to be just Walmart and plus Costco, who also sells Kirkland brand, right? Do you want just cheap, generic, mass appeal product, right? Do you want your fashion industry to be just like that? Or do you want that in addition to some boutique shop? And I think asset management industry is facing the same issues. There are lots of Walmarts out there. There are a lot of Costcos there who should not have, maybe shouldn't even offer a line of clothing, but they are. So there are asset managers.
Well, that's actually, I was talking to somebody the other day about that, because that's actually the Robin Hoods of the world right now. That, you know, yeah, you go to Walmart, you buy a t-shirt and, you know, it lasts you 2-3 days because it's bad quality, fine. You know, you did not suffer that much. But you decided that, you know, an app was good enough with you without any knowledge at all of what you're doing in with your money. That's a much bigger consequence. So there is a space there that is like a little gray and worrisome to me right now.
So I think there's overemphasis on just low-cost product. Mm-hmm. There's much, much less emphasis, but it needs a lot more, which is innovation in products, innovation that comes with much differentiated performance. You look at Cathie Wood, right? I have a lot of respect for her. 6-7 years ago, when she first started active ETF business, people think that's oxymoron, right? Active ETFs, shouldn't that always be passive? She was the first person who actually truly believed in that you can put in any content, whether passive, active, into ETF wrapper. You know, it's just an investment vehicle. And she has succeeded tremendously in doing that, because with her differentiated products, a whole suite of products, right? She offered much, much more differentiated products, right? Even net of the fees, her performance is 10, 20 times as the generic product, even net of fees, right? I'm very glad I was among the earlier investor in her product for Purview's low carbon ESG ETFs, right? And I saw how investing in innovative products can tremendously change the risk return profile of investors' money versus just to invest in the traditional 60-40 plain vanilla products. Yeah, it's just day and night. And I think that's what I think our industry really needs, is innovation, forward thinking, and be a better educator, you know, at doing what you do.
Okay, I'm going to ask you one last question, which is, what would you go out and shout to on top of your lungs? Like, what is it that you think you need to convince everybody on? Like, what's something that you know it's true, but almost nobody agrees with you?
I think there are two things that I've said that people never agree with me. One that I said earlier is the active ETF will become part of mainstream. This is what I said 3-4 years ago, right? And that becomes increasingly a reality. The other thing which we're just at the start of it, I'm going to say the same in a similar sentence. Impact investing is going to be on the main course of investment menu pretty soon.
Yeah, I think that's going to be faster.
Yeah, it's emerging, but it's still much smaller compared to, it's still much smaller. It's growing quickly. Yeah, we just need more asset owners, right, and investors to really think about where this world is going. How can you be part of it, right? Protest, concerned, worried about climate, worried about policies, right? That's not enough, right? With this U.S. election result, you know, if it proves to be final, right, yeah. I think this is once-a-lifetime opportunities where you have large economic blocks, U.S., Europe, and Asia, China, led by China, they are all moving toward net zero economy. And you're going to have policies to greatly support the electrification of the grids, power grid system, the transportation system, the public infrastructure, right? Public transportation systems. And you have fintech, right? Who at the same time, whether it is in China or in the US, they're greatly challenging the traditional financial banks by leveling access digital access to both large firms and small firms, the wealthy and the not so wealthy. And I think this is one of the most exciting investment opportunities that in my past 20 years. And it is so clear. It's so clear for me, the path to net zero economy is really happening across sectors. And I think investors have to take advantage of this incredible trend.
Thank you so much, Linda, for being here. It's been a huge pleasure and honor. I've always admired your career, and I know it's going to continue to go up from here.
The pleasure is mine. I've admired you from the distance to see how you build up your business. It's not easy for women owned, especially for women owned and women run. And I just remember to ask for help. So I'm giving the advice that I'm most terribly at.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.